April 2001. Voici Val. Il est maigre. Il a des cheveux longs. Il habite à Manhattan. Il a 34 ans. Voici Eleanor. Elle est divorcée. Elle habite à Long Island avec Jenny. Elle a 34 ans. Madeline est morte. Coffee percolates in the two-cupper on the warped countertop. When the caffeine question speaks to him, Val answers, why not? He ate 4 bites of Chinese food and retired to the couch, and now there's chemistry playing out on the plate. He's become very thin, and his dark hair is the longest it's been. He looks like he belongs in his neighborhood. On the TV, the president is golfing. When the coffee's ready, Val will discard the Mugu Gaipan before the cockroaches converge. Something is stirring in his vision's periphery on the canted hardwood planks. A 6-inch roach already got the Mugu's signal and now trudges toward the table, impeded by a dust bunny glommed on a hind leg. The president is boating now, across the coffee table, above the piled correspondence, most of it from Hoboken. After Val's mom sold the house on the island, she bought him a top-floor apartment in that gentrifying town on the other side of Manhattan, placing ownership and its responsibilities in his name. Val stayed there 2 months, stared at the venerable, daunting skyline, then got rid of the Jetta and moved into the city, into this cheap, small room in this neglected walk-up building, on this block that is straggling behind the surging development of the Upper West Side. He rented the Hoboken flat. The monthly checks covered the mortgage and his own rent, and they added a modest discretionary allowance. The 6-incher is stuck or taking a break from its hindered slog. Val considers the unopened correspondence. He pays Hoboken-related invoices on time, usually, and lets bills related to his own residence stack up. The utility baron intermittently cut his power. The cable monopolist demanded reactivation fees upon remittance. The phone company severed ties with him for good or close to it. It pleased Val that his contact with the system was restricted, but he did regret at times losing touch with his friends. Eleanor had divorced Rod and continued to live with Jenny in their latest house. James split time between Long Island and Colorado, where he co-owned another store devoted to bikes and outdoor sports. Val owed the Postal Service nothing, and it had very capably located him, forwarding missives from Hoboken and from the former Chez Jean Val in Long Island. The cruelest paper intrusion into his reclusion was the delayed delivery from Quebec. Madeleine est morte, reported Maman, who'd collected the body in Paris and eventually written to the girl's acquaintances, nobly inserting personal details she'd gleaned over the years from transatlantic conversations. Madeleine believed Val would become a famous musician, Maman wrote. Maintenant, elle est morte. Now she is dead. His Cinderella had fatefully imitated Telephone's Cendrillon. The two-cupper expectorates and gasps. Up Val goes with shoe in hand to squash the anchored scavenger. Splat on the hardwood and knock-knock on the door. It's Lily. Val. Just a minute. He scrapes up and discards the roach, wipes the floor and tosses out the food. Even this vagabond hangs on to some decorum when welcoming guests. Lily. Here I am. Val. There you are. There she is in her matted braids, nose ring and bare feet, padding straight to the couch that is stained on one cushion where a mouse had crawled in, trapped itself, and perished. After days of mysterious, pervading stench, Val deduced the source and extracted the mess. That stench was now gone for days or simply masked by the miasma of others. One day he'll ignite the couch and shove it off the fire escape. None of this olfactory insult bothered Lily. She lived 3 blocks north and circumambulated the neighborhood barefoot, dropping by when her cravings called, which was often. Lily. Dude, were you watching The Creep? Whether he was golfing, boating, bowling, horseback riding, or speechifying, the president didn't matter to Val, and she knew that. She marched for human and animal rights, shod for those occasions. Val marched with her once in Chinatown. He didn't get it. Lily is young, dirty, and politically fulfilled. Val is not so young, not so dirty, and disengaged. He hands her a beer and thinks, bue, bue, drink, drink. He begs off a poetry slam she's attending. Bye-bye. This recurring dynamic of their relationship, his declining her entrances into the hectic, earthy, and alien, would soon lead to their breakup if she had any sense. He has little sense and no bold arrow telling him where to go. His acute self-awareness has proved no avail. Seeing himself in the splattered bathroom mirror as a poor man's Hamlet or Raskolnikov only affirmed his leaden appraisal that he is not an original character. Il n'est pas un vrai type. His malaise was borne out over the acoustic guitar he idly picked while whispering new but banal fragments. Caffeine did not counteract Val's plunges in energy. He could gulp a double espresso and nap next to the cup. However, it did contribute, along with his other intakes and his mental indigestion, to the rickety platform of semi-consciousness he stepped along many nights. Here he sits in front of a blank TV next to a dormant guitar, without a backup to the poetry slam. He could walk to the landing and hang out with Phil. If he weren't fishing, Phil would be hosing down the boat or drinking. Val liked to go out on the water with Phil 3 times a week. They rounded the Battery and proceeded east to Red Hook, or they cruised around Manhattan's north end on to Roosevelt Island. Striped bass were caught with significantly weighted lines, though the notorious current snapped many a rig with quotidian insolence. Dioxin and other taints precluded them from filleting even the big ones. Phil threw everything back with dexterity and empathy. The ebb tide toward the Statue of Liberty typically called the fishermen out, and Val thinks it calls tonight, but he doesn't know the table. Even after accompanying Phil a few hundred times, Val simply goes along for the breezy ride in the shadows of skyscrapers. Tonight, fishing with Phil is a no-go, he decides. On days when he didn't join Phil, Val took the subway to Grand Central or rode the bus to LaGuardia or JFK. Lolling in the rail and airport termini as a non-traveler intrigued him. He observed the rush, confusion, anxiety, solemnity, purpose, and distraction. All these people, all these strangers. After a peak swirl, he would sit back, thinking that he had taken a crowd in the face. Inverting the phrase, a face in the crowd, and concocting this new one agreed with his sense of vigorous alienation in the city. Val watched the shop gates open and close, and the maintenance and security workers come and go. Disruptions such as weather delays and busy holidays added spice none too frequently for him. When he wasn't observing, he read newspapers, paperbacks, and magazines, or listened to his portable CD player through his headphones. He varied his peregrinations among levels and buildings, lapping up each mise-en-scene. It was a game that had not yet exhausted or shamed him, but tonight, at this hour, it's out of the question. Wake up. He slumped against the arm of the couch. What time is it? He could turn on the stereo, whose components are scarred from relocation and other accidents. The speakers now intermittently activate at low volume. Val listens to tunes, especially new music, much less than he used to. He attributes this to his lack of a car. If you don't drive, you don't play the radio. There was Gary Numan's Cars from the 80s, a repetitive song that cryptically asserted a vehicle's primacy in human existence and the search for meaning. Whatever. When you don't hear what's new, you don't play what's old. And if you don't have a garage, you don't practice with a band. Again, there's the possibility of joining Phil. Val could carry a bottle to the landing and, if the old river dog isn't home, hang with the rest of the litter. Some of them sang when they drank. Lily had asked if she could join Val down there, but he preferred to keep it stag. She thought the booze and song combos sounded appealing. Val didn't bring his guitar there. He ostensibly wanted to protect it from the elements. Lily had supposed the rocking, lapping, and conversing spawned monosyllabic existential insights. If they did, Val could not testify to them. Lily had projected a guru-pupil relationship on Phil Val. It wasn't there. Val had diligently resisted the role of student, rewinding all the years back to Long Island. Where did this knee-jerk distaste of even the kindest lessons originate? He knew. From his father, the drowned man. the man who turned his back on his wife and infant son, the man who went fishing alone. He looks at the stack of correspondence. There's noise from the street, an ambulance's siren, honking, a lover's quarrel. Such interruptions integrated themselves into Val's meager apartment so regularly that they seem like furniture. Sleep and coffee have fouled his mouth, so he ties his sneakers. It's time to venture out. He makes sure not to count the steps on the way down. That would be sad.
Can't sleep at all tonight, it's okay. Don't want that restless heart, so anyway. Find me a corner of some cafe. Waitress talks so nice and walks away. And what's this I'm thinking? Love is dead and gone. Dead and gone. Last call time to hit the street. Picks your people not to. Swarming and hovering fills the air. Hang me, I'm deaf and dumb. I don't care, I don't care. And what's this I'm thinking? Love is dead and gone. Corner bus a song. Who can say who done me wrong? Doppler and madness from the cars. City light washes out the stars. What's this I'm thinking? Love is dead and gone. Enter my Blackstone negotiate stairs. Ten roaches, limbo, lightning pen. This sheetless mattress, not a spring. The future's one, the loudest and latest spring. And what's this I'm thinking? Love is dead and gone. Oh, no, no, no. Guess I'll keep on drinking. The hours creep along.